My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Black Girls Heal. In the last episode, y'all, this is the last episode of our Navigating Love Avoidance series, where I'm pulling out some of my favorite lessons related to the series topic. And with us looking at love avoidance, I am pulling way back to episode 100. Episode 100, years ago now, where I did a series where I talked about different mistakes that I made as a love addict dating, different mistakes I made as a love addict being married, different mistakes I've made as a love avoidant being married. And today's episode, we're talking about, or I'm sharing with you, three mistakes I made dating as a love avoidant. So for those of you who don't know, in addition to my therapeutic background, 16 years as a therapist, 10 years as a coach, I am also the woman that I help serve. So I was in recovery from sex and love addiction in the 12-step fellowships of Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous and Love Addicts Anonymous, which led me into focusing on these areas because I didn't know that this was a thing. And even when I found out it was a thing, I was like, that's not actually real, until I actually learned about it. And I was like, oh, that's why all of my relationships have showed up this way, even though I'm a supposed expert in this field, even though I'm well-adjusted in all these areas, even though I have all this stuff going for me, this is why my relationship patterns and everything keep getting worse, no matter how much I learn, no matter how much I try, no matter how much I try to therapize myself. There is an actual distinct way that I'm attaching to other people and that I'm attached to myself. And that's what this is. That's what love avoidance is. That's what love addiction is. And by me having the name for that and then applying tools directly for that, that is how I was able to change my life, change my patterns, and help you all change your lives as well. And so with that said, I was still building relationships as a love avoidant. You know, there were things that were on my radar for me to avoid and work through, and there were things that I had no idea that I was still doing. And so in this episode, I share some of those mistakes. And with hindsight, growth, experience, healing, and also knowing what to do instead, because sometimes you just know something is off, but you don't quite know what to do to fix it. You know, now I know how to fix all the things, right? And so that's part of what I share here with y'all here on the podcast, what I share with you in our recovery school program and all that stuff. So I'm going to share, you're going to hear some things about me, and you're going to take some tips and tools with you on the way to implement into your dating life, if you're dating, or your relationship life. Or if these are things that you no longer do anymore, or that you've grown in, or that haven't been issues for you, you can go ahead and celebrate yourself. Pat yourself on the back. This is great. It is so good to acknowledge ourselves. It's so important in this process. So that is it for now. You're going to hear the mini intro into that episode and the reason why I published that episode years ago after the jump, and can't wait to dig in.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
So these are things that I have done over different relationships when I was dating. And again, I'll have another episode when I talk about what it looked like for me when I was in committed long-term relationships. And because the dynamics slightly change when you are with someone, the way that it may present. And these things can happen within the same relationship that you go back and forth between being very
over-attached or addicted to or codependent with someone, you can go back and forth between these two extremes. I know that that's a common question that I ask, and we can talk about why that happens a little bit later, but I just want you to know that it's okay if you relate to everything all at the same time. The love addiction episode from last week and this one. So the first thing that I used to do, and this episode will not be exhaustive because it's just going to be how these things presented for me. But the first thing I used to do was not being clear with my intentions when I liked somebody. So again, this is when I was single and dating, when I was active in my love avoidance, the opposite of me being very, very attached to these people and very much obsessed or in fantasy or very open and available. When I was love avoidant, people wouldn't know if I liked them or not. They would have no idea. And meanwhile, in my head, I might be like, ooh, he is it. He is the one. And homeboy would have no earthly idea. And so there are a lot of reasons why this happened. And so I'm going to list three of those reasons. And so the first one was just low self-esteem. Again, like many of us, I might not have ever called it low self-esteem at the time. I felt as if I really liked myself and I felt as if I really loved myself and I had all these structures in place that made it seem that way, and that showed outward evidence of it. However, I would have a lot of self-consciousness when it came to being outwardly expressive and vulnerable that I liked someone unless I knew that they liked me first. It was very hard for me to be flirtatious and open in that way. Here is where I know this is definitely where there's a spectrum of experiences, even within our community. Some people are avoidance and you will keep people at arm's distance, but you have no problem going up to somebody, being very flirtatious, being in their space, being very obvious. You might never let them in. you might not ever trust them, or once you do start to trust them, you will sabotage it or all of that, right? But this is just how it showed for me. And I actually think this is really common. I think many of us who relate to this may identify as being shy when it comes to being around people who we are interested in and getting very self-conscious. But really, it is because we haven't learned that we are amazing. We haven't actually learned that we are beautiful, that we are engaging to talk to, that our interests are worth being explored, that people care about what we have to say, unless they tell us first. And again, that is just repeated trauma that just shows up in our adult relationships. And so we are very risk averse. As much as love avoidance really like to be, well, I guess it goes along with it. Love avoidance, we love to be in control. We want to control the environment. We want to control whether or not we can be rejected or whether or not we're in power and where the game pieces are. And so by us holding back until we are crystal clear that they like us, it is a way to have control. The second reason that this happened for me was I had a big disconnection to my sexuality. And, you know, we may get into this more, not necessarily specifically my story, but some things that may cause this later on this year. I hope to have a series on healing our sexuality and sexual shame. Speaking of having almost 100 episodes, about in our first year, I had a survey where about 70 to 80 of y'all completed, which is amazing because the only place I posted it or talked about it was on the podcast. So 70, 80 of y'all, when the podcast was smaller, like you took the time to come and answer the survey, which I really appreciated. But you talked about what your connection to your sexuality and your sexual health and how it looks like in your relationships. And it was really helpful to see what's been going on for y'all and what might be most helpful for y'all to learn about in the future. But for me, disconnection from my sexuality meant the best word, and I hate to use this word even though it's accurate just because of how intense it sounds, but there was almost like this revulsion of me being a sexual being. and mixed up with some shame and mixed up with some guilt. And so the way that it looks like is I would, instead of me being outwardly flirtatious with people, I would regress and get smaller. It was really hard for me to tap into that sensual side of myself. And to when it comes to being in relationships, you have to be able to be open to that. You have to be able to be open to lightly touching someone's shoulders or holding eye contact with them for an extended period of time, giggling and tilting your head to the side, letting yourself black girl blush. Like you need to be comfortable with letting people admire your body and admire and take in your frame. And of course, y'all know I'm not saying this in a creepy or predatory way, but your body is made in a very attractive way to whatever partners you are dating or that you are open to, of all genders, sizes, races, whatever. And so I would have a lot of restriction related to that. And so when it came to being with partners and dating, I would really shut that down. And I would say in my head, I'll let them know, I'll let them get to know that piece of me, but they need to initiate it first. And here's the thing, y'all, people can only do so much if you're not open to it. It's nobody else's responsibility to make you feel comfortable in your own skin, right? If they're doing all the right things, if they are being a gentleman or a gentlewoman, if they are respecting your boundaries, if they are making known their interests, it is up to you to show up as your full self. And that's something that you are in charge of. You are the one who's in charge of saying what you want and saying what you need. So it was very easy for me to get close to people as friends. But when it came to tapping into me being a potential romantic partner, because I had friend zoned them or I had friend zoned myself, it just didn't happen. I was not a prospect for them. And it was just because I exuded that this wasn't safe for me and these people respected it. Of course, there were other relationships where people really loved the challenge of it and that I made it a lot easier. And those were typically the toxic people. But again, that's a whole that's the other episode that I already did. So, but like with healthy people, and I've said this before, when it came to healthy and available people, I would make all kinds of excuses of why I had to shut that part down. And it wasn't conscious, but it happened. And then the third thing I want to say about this before I move to the second mistake that I made when I was dating as a love addict is the reason why I was not clear with my intentions that I liked them was because of the impact of religious, Christian specifically, culture. So this might be the case across other spiritual belief systems and cultures and disciplines, but I can only speak to Christianity. So I became a Christian in late teens, early college, and I was very active. I've said this before. I was very active in those years in Christian ministry. And so at the same time that I was finally getting freedom and access to more social groups and social engagements and boys, I was also learning about the right rules of what it means to date as a Christian. And so very much in Christian culture is you don't date, you court. And you only court/date, but you only court people that you are for sure going to marry. And there are tons of teachings and instructions that basically tell us as women to be pure and be set apart and don't be so obvious that we like somebody, because they are going to notice us across the way over time and notice our good, pure heart and how amazing we are. And even though the room was full of 100 amazing other Christian women, they are going to notice us across the way and build a relationship with us, build a friendship with us. But because they're a good Christian man, they're not going to outwardly flirt with us. And we're all going to hang together out as a group. And then one day he will decide to ask you out on a date. And you do not have to, in fact, do not be sexually suggestive or do not incorporate any part of that into your life. You need to just focus on the ministry, focus on loving people, focus on volunteering and all of that, right? And I'm trying to figure out how to talk about this that is respectful, because I have many women who I directly coach and love on. I have many women who are my dear friends, and I have many former clients from the past. And also I was in this, and also I respect where the intention of this is coming from. Wanting people to be mindful of not messing around, you know, and not playing with people's hearts, and being clear and taking it seriously, right? That someone could fall in love with you, and you are doing this in honor to God and all of that, right?
If you've ever listened to an episode of Black Girls Heal and thought, that was powerful, but now what? BGH Members Club is for you. Inside, you'll get ad-free bonus episodes and an archive library of all of our current episodes without ads as well, in-depth worksheets for every topic we cover, and special drop-in lessons to help you actually apply what you're learning. This is your space to reflect, grow, and make real changes in your healing journey. Join today at blackgirlsheal.org/members and take the next step towards becoming your healthiest version of you. Have you ever had one of those days where everything just feels harder than usual and you can't quite figure out why? I've definitely had my fair share, and I totally get how frustrating it can be. And recently I learned that sometimes it's not just stress or lack of sleep, it's actually more hormones that are at play. And that's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy, and you just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the hormone quiz myself, and it gave me a personalized insight into what might be happening with my hormones so that I can start to do better. And the quiz suggested that I have symptoms that may align with having high estrogen, which is one of many hormones that Hormone Harmony can help to regulate. Hormone Harmony's herbal formula doesn't just help with estrogen, though. It assists with testosterone, and it also helps with stress hormones such as cortisol, which we all know can wreak havoc on the nervous system and everything it's connected to. Though big changes often help, smaller habits like taking supplements, like Hormone Harmony, can offer a huge impact as well. Taking care of your hormones is about investing in your long-term health. If you don't know where to start, take their free hormone quiz and you'll learn more about your hormone balance and how you can make small, intentional changes to support your body. But whether it's with Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, this quiz helps to guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. If you're ready to start feeling like yourself again, head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today. And for a limited time, you'll also get 50% off your entire first order with my code BGH at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BGH for 15% off today.
Here's the problem, though. Here's the problem. The problem with that is for those of us that have this internalized disconnection from our bodies, from our sexuality, from our femininity, from that it is okay to be beautiful, that it is okay to be desired, that it is okay to have these have healthy sexual health, it just reinforces those messages and pushes it way down, which just compacts and just compiles onto our original trauma. There is a part of us that we never get to develop because we're told that one day the box will be opened. The box. Sorry, y'all. Obviously, I'm not fully invested in this mindset anymore. Ooh, Lord, help me. Okay. One day the box will be opened and we will be able to fully flourish and explore these parts of ourselves. But a switch does not magically turn on. When you've spent your whole life repressing yourself and shaming yourself for when you have any of these natural thoughts or urges come up, it is still there when you get into a loving, committed marriage, right? Because marriage is the context here. That doesn't go away. How you trained your body, how you think about yourself, how you think about sex, the power that you gave to someone from in the future. So part of what goes along with this is the idea that when I meet somebody, all of these feelings and everything I need will magically be able to be given to me, that they will just know because I chose the right person. And honor to God, we met with our pastor, we've grown this great friendship. So when it comes to sex, it'll work out. And if it doesn't work out, it's all things that we can learn. But if you've spent years learning how to not be in charge and not be connected to your body, to your sensuality, to your ability to access that, just because you've said vows and just because you have signed your marriage certificate and just because you have made this declaration in front of other people, the relationship that you have with yourself is what's the constant one. Right? So it doesn't matter how amazing and giving this person is. If you cannot receive sexual pleasure, if you cannot ask for the things that you want, if you cannot let someone and embrace you and engage you in this way because of your own trauma, it's going to stay there, y'all. It's going to stay there. And there are so many stories of women who talk about this being their experience. You know, Miss Kev on stage is doing such a great job with her platform, dispelling some of the miseducation that Christian women have had to learn about their bodies and about sexuality and about what it means for themselves. And so I would encourage you to go and check out her podcast. She has had a lot of amazing guests if you relate to this part of yourself. But what this would look like for me is when I started dating someone, even if they identified as a Christian, if I felt that they had any, because I was so used to men supposedly just being like friend mode for so long, if they were more flirtatious than I felt comfortable with, then I would run. If they needed me to be more open and not be so flat with them. So I'm laughing, I'm engaging, I'm talking with them, but I'm still just giving homegirl energy. And so they didn't know, they thought I was just their homegirl. They thought I was just their friend because I would not match their energy. And so they didn't quite know if I liked them or not. And so I had to learn how to not be so stiff, basically. I had to learn how to fully show up as myself and still be in line with my values, but not be so restricted and be more open with people. So that's the first one. The second mistake I made dating as a love avoidant, and I said addict earlier, but this episode is dating as a love avoidant, is dating people out of pity or dating people I didn't actually like from the get-go. And so it is very common for someone who's love avoidant to decide to give people a chance. And the reasons for giving people a chance could be a lot of different things. It could be because your girlfriends are like, girl, you're just being so mean, so picky, and you go out with someone. It's because you've been single for too long and or you're bored and you just want something to do. It could be because you are trying to do your self-healing work and realizing that you are picking people the wrong way, and so you're trying to do something different, so you actually go out on a date with someone. It could be any of those reasons, none of those reasons, but whatever it is, you know that you're not really feeling this person. And here's why that is a mistake. That is a mistake not because you should only go out with people that you feel that they are the one from the first time you meet. I think we put a lot of emphasis on this high level sexual attraction from the first moment, which I think sets many of us up for disappointment and sets many of us up to be in codependent, addictive relationships because we need that intensity every moment and every minute, and we get addicted to that. We want to do everything we can to get that original high back. And so chasing that high is a mistake in itself. But going back to with love avoidance, the problem is not dating someone that you might not be initially super excited about. It's about your attitude and mindset that you're going into it with. So as a love avoidant, if I am saying, well, let me just throw this man some time. Let me just go ahead and see what this is about. And, you know, let me go ahead and get some dinner. That's a really funky attitude to start something with. And I'm not really going to be giving that person a chance. This could be the most amazing person. But because I'm already coming in with these blocks, with these walls up, that is either saying that I'm better than them, that they're not worth my time, that he needs to be 3 inches taller, that I don't like his hairline. With all of this stuff that I'm coming into this with, I'm over here blocking my blessings, right? I'm blocking my blessings because they are not initially putting out all the toxic energy I'm typically attracted to. And so there must be something wrong, right? Versus me being open and actually getting to know someone and being curious about them and understanding that they have just as much value as I do. Again, as long as they're not having red flags, you know, this is not me giving people the green light to go out with someone that your intuition is like, oh, nah, like this is going to be dangerous. Do not go out with anyone that will be emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically dangerous, right? But the person who seems like the good guy or the good girl or the good person that you're like, you know, they've been trying to get to know me and I've been swerving them. Do not go out on a date with them out of pity. Only go out on a date with them, even with knowing that you're not super like, this is it. Go out on a date with them because you're curious to get to know them. Because you want to listen to who they are and their stories. And you also want to show up as your full self. So me, because I went in with this funky attitude and I'd already known that it wasn't going to work out, you know, I wasn't really as open with them for them to get to know me. And I also wasn't really that interested in getting to know them, if anything, because I was always, you know, I've been a therapist for a minute, y'all, because I was either in training for being a therapist or actually a therapist, I would slip into my helper mode, which is also something that I hear a lot of my students do and a lot of other people do, especially if they're also healers, is they will go into these dates. And another way that you put someone on a lower level than you is like you become their counselor. And so you're asking them stories about who they are and, you know, about their job and about their family and stuff. You start giving advice. You start therapizing them, and it might not be like obvious. Well, it's obvious. Like when people start opening up and you keep asking leading questions and stories, sis, this is a date. Eat the bread, talk about your favorite movies, talk about, you know, your most fun experiences. Let's not talk about trauma. Let's not give someone you don't even know advice on how they should better and improve their life. Let's stay in the moment, right? But I would definitely disqualify people when I would do that as well, okay? And the last mistake I would make as a love avoidant dating was I would go after people who were safer conquests for me. So, and this would happen even after I started healing work on all the stuff that I talked about and kind of had my eyes open. But my low self-worth or low self-esteem would still show up in the type of partners I was picking. Or actually, I should probably say the ones I was not picking. So I still, even though I'd been doing this work and having my eyes open, I would still get really intimidated around people who I assumed may not like me. And so those were the people who I would go back into my defense mechanism and be really great at engaging them and talking with them and making them feel safe and making them feel like I like them as a person. But they would not know that I was interested in them. And the people who I felt like weren't really a challenge to me, or, you know, I could take them or leave them, those would be the ones that I would be more open and flirtatious with, y'all. And so here's where that comes from. That comes from you not knowing that you deserve to be in the room. That comes from you not knowing that you have inherent worth and value, and that the person is lucky to be talking to you, right? You would be such an amazing prize to be that person's girlfriend or partner, right? And even if it's decided by your part, their part, or both of your parts that you would not be a good fit, or that y'all would not be a good fit together, you still have worth and they still have worth, right? This is just another person. You know, so many times I would, because of my thinking in the past and being so quick to like compare myself to other people and limit myself, I would subconsciously put people in categories bigger than me. Instead of just thinking and remembering that this is just another human being. This is another human being just like me. And I can talk with them and I can flirt with them and I can tell them and show them that I'm interested. And I can also choose not to as well, you know, and it's okay. I get to show up however I want to show up. And there's no shame in that. And so I know that that has a big overlap over the ones that I've already discussed, but I just wanted to share, you know, because I think that that happens. Like, I'll watch women become open, like their world will open up. They get their healing, they get their transformation, they get access to everything, and they still doubt whether or not they deserve to be in the room or be a consideration of the type of partner that they want. And yes, you do. You need to understand that you will be the upgrade to anyone's life. You will only add to it. And that is not from a place of you having to look down on them. You having to look down on them and saying that they will be nothing without me. Anytime we go into these places of ego, y'all, we got to check ourselves, because we cannot feel good about ourselves by putting other people down, period. And so, but you have to look at the different people or persons that you're looking to date and say, you know, like, I would be amazing, you know, and they would be amazing for me, because this is give and take. You know, that's how you know you're slipping into love addiction, when you look at it and you're like, okay, what can I do for them only? And also you're slipping into love avoidance when you're like, okay, what can they do for me only? And healthy and balanced relationships is when it's like, okay, this is going to take give and take, and this is going to be mutual share. So is there benefits on both sides? Or is it me coming in as, for my love addicted ladies, I know that that's not the topic of the episode, but for my love addicted ladies coming in and saying, okay, I can totally make their life better and I can totally fix them up, right? And my love avoidance, are you only there as long as they make you laugh and make you happy, as long as they can entertain you and stay out of your way? And if that's where you are, if that is where you are, I need you to own it. I need you to not go into these relationships with people and get their hearts all strung out when you know that you do not want to be connected. And also, my love avoidance, it is not enough for you to tell somebody, I don't want to be connected. And then if they decide to catch feelings, say that it's their fault. No, sis, you the one who saw it happening. And you milked the situation for as long as you could, and now you're upset that they're upset when you enabled the situation also. We have to look at the parts that we play in our relationships. We are not all always innocent, and sometimes there's some self-accountability that we need to take. So I'm starting to get into the different ways that love avoidance can show up. For me, my love avoidance did not show up that way, but it does often. And so maybe I will do I already have the original episode about how love avoidance will look like in relationships. So if you're like, say more, then you can go and check out that episode. For me, it really looked like more just shutting down and not fully owning my sexuality and womanhood and ability to be open and connected to someone. And I know that that's the case for a lot of Christian women. So I wanted to specifically talk about that this episode, even though I don't talk about it often in the other ones. So that's it for this episode. I will see you next week, and y'all take care of yourselves.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Black Girls Heal. If this episode helped you in any way, please be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and share it with someone you love. And if you're ready to go deeper and turn what you're learning about here into real life change, join us inside the BGH Members Club. You'll get ad-free bonus episodes, powerful worksheets about every topic we discuss here, and exclusive lessons to help you apply the healing tools we talk about. You can join today at blackgirlsheal.org/members. And as always, take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next week.